from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the Jaguars Radio Network studios. JP Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. Not much going on this week, John.
Well, and you know me, JP. To quote Warren Zevon, I'm not usually the excitable boy, but this is an exciting week. We got Jeff Darlington, Dave Caldwell. You know, all these shows are good, but this should be a lot of fun today.
No doubt about that. So here's how you can get involved today. At Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, I'm sure, at Jeff Darlington will be working during this show as well. So go there. Let's look at the Jaguars this week. Of course, the NFL draft starts tomorrow. Jeff Darlington will join us. He's been encamped here in Jacksonville the last few days, talking with Jaguars brass and such. The NFL Network reporter will join us on set here in just a moment. And, of course, Dave Caldwell, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, scheduled to join us about 1 o'clock today, the day before the draft. And I know he's excited to get it. I don't know if he's excited to get it over with or just get it started, one of the two. Let's welcome in our first guest today from the NFL Network, Jeff Darlington. And we mentioned this off air earlier. I have a bone to pick with you today about an incident in Indianapolis, Jeff.
I'm trying to confirm.
It's okay. He's working the phones.
It's okay. Work your sources.
I am literally working the phones to try to find out who who was responsible for this terrible mishap.
Well, at some point, we'll figure
defying.
Out the details. Well, it's great to
maybe
see
something
you.
To leave to the imagination.
And that's just
you're not even going to share? You don't even want to share
okay.
with your audience?
It's past.
It's okay, but I think they should know.
It's okay.
What he's complaining about here was at the combine.
Okay.
Well, no, I feel like, you know.
Go ahead.
So we're on the second floor of Moe's, which is ground zero for all that happens at the combine.
That's true.
And I knock off...
yes, you did. You did it.
I didn't do it!
You did it.
See, you put it in my head.
You did it.
So, but what's funny is we were just talking about how a bottle fell from the second floor window and...
A vase.
Yes.
Was it a bottle?
I'm not sure.
There was a whiff of air when it went by my head. And that's okay. That's okay.
So...
I look up and there's your smiling face.
So you just mentioned this off air and so I go have lunch and... My confidence in whether or not it was me or not dropped from, I thought it was 100% not me. And I'm like, God, was that me?
It's okay.
I don't really know.
We have forgiven you.
We should have put the GoPro up in that building.
No,
that
I'm trying to find out.
Great to see you.
Good to
obviously,
see you as well.
You've been here for a few days. It's the biggest week of the offseason in the National Football League. But tell us what it's like to be entrenched in a place like Jacksonville.
It's great. I mean, first of all, not to make this a public service announcement, but the Jaguars organization has been incredible this week just from the access. I mean, it's very rare that we're doing live shots inside the weight room with guys working out behind us. I mean, that's really generally unprecedented. That doesn't happen in NFL facilities. And we've done live shots from the Jaguars locker room. We've done them from the weight room, the visitors locker room. We've been all over the place. And that's rare, and I think it's actually really rewarding to the audience because they get to see a little bit. I mean, at a time when we're so tired of talking about all the speculation, if there's anything that we can do to add some oomph to the coverage, some intrigue, even if it's little stuff like that, it's really helpful. But it's great to be in this environment, and Dave Caldwell, I can say firsthand, is among the calmest people in the history of the NFL. And he's so calm and seemingly very confident too about his approach, and I think he's really ready for this thing to get started.
Expand on that a little, Jeff, because all these fans, they know Dave and they know a few GMs here. You deal with a lot of GMs.
Yeah.
How does he differ on this draft week from maybe some guys that you've dealt with?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the GMs around the league are pretty calm at this point because it's all about getting your draft board in order, and really at this point, I mean, think about how much we've discussed the draft at nauseum. These GMs, I mean, this is what they do every day, all day. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, the work, the hay is in the barn. I mean, the work is done. But nonetheless, you usually sense a little bit of anxiety. And with Dave, he just seems very confident. And, I mean, he's the man that I know he'll be in after me. And, I mean, that's the guy. In his brain, if you guys can extract some truth from him, he is the only one that knows the answer. He was telling me earlier that Gus Bradley is the only person who knows the pick, the potential pick, depending on how scenarios play out, other than him, and he's going to meet with the owner, Mr. Khan, tonight, and he'll lay out the scenarios for him. But really, nobody knows. I mean, this is really two men know the truth.
Jeff Darlington is with us, NFL Network. This is Jaguars.com Live. Speaking of scenarios, this is probably one of the toughest drafts to call in a while, right?
It is. And it always feels really tough, and then the chips start to fall, and you're like, okay. You know, like, look, if it goes tomorrow, if what makes this so intriguing is if Clowney goes number one, and then does Manziel go number two? And then even if Manziel goes number two, does Khalil Mack go number three, or is it Sammy Watkins? I mean, there's so much mystery in the first five picks specifically. I mean, I think that generally we can usually figure out what the first three, four picks are going to be. And then the intrigue comes into play at five, six, seven when you start seeing some trades, and it becomes more difficult to predict. But this year, I mean, we don't even know right now who Houston is taking.
Right.
You know? I mean, I think there's a decent assumption it would be Clowney. But what if it's not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happens then? Do the Rams scratch whatever plan they had, assuming that Clowney wouldn't go? And then do the Jaguars end up? I mean, there's so many what-ifs and so many dominoes that have yet to fall that I think that's what's going to make that first hour of the draft really intriguing.
It sort of reminds you a little of, I think it was the 2004 draft, if I'm getting the year right, where everybody assumed Reggie Bush, and then all of a sudden Mario Williams.
Yeah.
And then everything else sort of fell, you know. I guess my question to you is, when something like that happens, when there's a surprise at the top, does that, by definition, throw other teams into a flux?
Yeah.
Are there enough plan Bs where there's usually not panic?
It's not plan
Panic's
Bs.
Not the right
I think that these guys, and this is what Dave mentioned, you know, it's like he's going to tell the pick to Mr. Khan tonight at dinner, and he and I both quickly said, well, no, the scenarios.
Right.
Because it's not just... you know, if one and two fall as in accordance to his plan A, then he takes his pick according to plan A. But yeah, they have plenty of scenarios laid out that if, you know, I'll bet Dave even knows if Manziel somehow ended up going number one instead of Clowney, then what does it do to the Rams? And what, you know, I think when you're sitting at three, it's a lot easier than if you're a team sitting at seven or eight. And that craziness happens, and all of a sudden the guy that you coveted is now still available at three or four. That's when the trade, that's when I think that the nerves start to get going in those draft rooms.
You were a beat guy, covered the Dolphins for a long time.
Yep.
Did you ever have a feel going into the draft that you had a real good feel for what they're doing? Or as a beat guy, I know when I was working the beats, it was always, I think I got an idea, but it was really hard to ever get an exact.
Well,
you were always assuming a little bit, weren't you?
Oh, anybody who says otherwise is lying to you. And that's one of the biggest issues I have with draft coverage in general from a reporting standpoint.
One of many.
In all seriousness, though, I mean, as a reporter, I would hope most reporters feel the same, is that I pride myself in, number one, accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes along with
which is impossible for 3 months before the draft,
right? Which goes along with accountability, and then the third thing is the trust of my sources, and so anybody who reports things that their sources have told them, there's no source in the NFL that wants their information out right now. So if you learn information from your source and then report it, you're betraying the source.
Probably have a tough time next year.
Right. So it's a really stupid time of year from my perspective, because you see these there was just a, I know John McLean, who I respect greatly,
sure.
And I'm not going to we'll knock the tweet specifically, not his general. I mean, he said that word amongst media up here is that Johnny Manziel is going to Jacksonville at 3.
Whereas 5 minutes before, Dave told he hasn't told anybody except us.
Okay.
So somebody's telling somebody.
But why would the media up in New York all of a sudden know that?
Right.
And I think what happens oftentimes is John McClain's audience is Houston, and he's very and when you put something like that out there in that regard, it can have a huge reaction, especially this day and age with the way Twitter is, in Jacksonville, in the city, where it's like, you know, it's there's no way that is, we don't know that to be true.
Right.
There's no way that anybody knows.
But it was
that
on
Johnny
Twitter,
Manziel's
Jeff.
Going number three.
It was on Twitter.
It must be true.
What happens if the Rams draft Johnny Manziel at number two?
Well, then I guess the Jags wouldn't get him at three, right?
I mean, that's not a knock on him. That's a knock on the pride. That's literally, you know, the only example I can give you within the past 30 minutes.
But it's indicative of
it's
the
indicative
medium
of,
and the age.
Of the medium and the age. And I mean, I'm just as guilty. I was
sure
saying, you know, this morning on NFL AM, Greg Robinson could be a guy to watch at number three now. And people are like, wait, Greg Robinson? I'm like, all right, chill out. I'm not saying that he's going to be drafted. I'm just saying you could make a case if Greg Robinson were to be drafted here. You solidify your bookends. You move Aaron over to right guard. You've got Beatles at left guard, and it makes the line dominant. It doesn't mean that I know something more there.
Jeff Darlington is with us, NFL Network. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. As for your coverage on draft night, what happens to an entrenched reporter on actually Thursday night, tomorrow night, and Friday and Saturday, going, and so on?
Well, you know, it's funny. We're here embedded all week with the top five teams. We've got reporters in each of those cities. And after 6 p.m., though, especially with our coverage, you're basically, if you're in one of those cities, you're not going to really get on the air because things move so fast in New York that it's like it's just boom, 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 boom. And even if it's big news, it's so tough to go backwards once you start those dominoes in motion. So really what it's about now is just it's just getting there now. It's just
you're
a matter
hanging
of,
out tomorrow night.
I'm hanging out. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be having drinks at the draft party. No, that's not true. No, I'm going to be knocking beer bottles off the second floor onto
And I was going to ask you, though, you mentioned earlier about the fact that it's hard to know exactly what's happening, and you're dealing with a lot of speculation.
Yeah.
In your role, does the NFL Network allow you to sort of have some fun with that fact? The fact that you're really just sort of speculating and doing the best you can in this time of year?
It's more, and I'm sounding like I'm ranting and complaining. I'm not complaining. It's just a product of the time of year. We have analysts and we have reporters, and it's important to distinguish between the two. My role as a reporter is not to sit here and say who I think the Jaguars should draft. It's to say what I'm hearing in terms of who they will draft. I mean, that's what it's always about. It's not about, as a reporter, it's not about what they should do, it's about what they will do. And at the draft this time of year, it's impossible to do that. So instead, what I can do is lay out why Khalil Mack it would make sense for the Jaguars in terms of the Leo position and explain Gus Bradley's defensive mindset. But we have plenty of analysts, though, that can have as much fun with breaking that down as they want.
And who know no more than you and I do.
Right, exactly. Well, except for the fact that they've been in war rooms, but they don't know anything about what is actually going to happen.
Right.
And if they do, I mean, it's just, I know things, about, I would love to just shout into this microphone the things that people have entrusted me with, but if I did that, I would be betraying the people who told me, and that goes against one of my philosophies.
You can tell me off the air.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys can talk about that. Jeff, we appreciate your time. It's great to see you as always.
Hey.
And we'll look forward to you the rest of the week.
I owe you a beer, apparently. One that is full and
intact.
Intact.
I appreciate that. Jeff Darlington.
Jeff, thanks. Great
thanks
job.
Very much, guys.
NFL Network joining us. Hey, where will you be when the Jaguars make their 2014 draft pick? Join the Jags for the 20th annual Bud Light Draft Party. Presented by PRI Productions, Thursday, May 8th. That's tomorrow. Yes, it is 6 to 10. Here from GMJ 12. Coach Gus Bradley right after the pick. Enjoy interactive games, prizes, much, much more tomorrow. Admission is free. You must register for a ticket to the event and present that ticket at the entrance tomorrow. Jaguars.com/draft party. And I'm told today, John, that there are nearly 7,000 registered for that party tomorrow night.
That's where I'm going. I mean, I'm not sure what you're doing tomorrow night, but that's where I'm going to go.
I'm going to be sitting here on camera anchoring Jaguars.com live coverage.
So maybe I'll do that too.
Great to visit with Jeff Darlington, always. Classy dude.
Now I want to know what happened in Indy.
Yeah, it's past us. It's all past us.
Yeah, and he made a lot of good points. And, you know, it was fun to talk to somebody else who's sort of around it and who sort of shares that experience of, you spend 2 or 3 months talking about the draft, and you and I talk about it, and everybody talks about it. We talk about a million guys. We have guys on this show, and it's great fun, and people eat it up, and they love to speculate, and that's okay. That's part of what we do. That's part of the fun of the pre-draft process. And at the same time, I get emails saying, who are the Jaguars going to take at three? And you could really answer in three words, which is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows, and nobody's supposed to know, and it's by design that – really, nobody except Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley right now and Shad Khan tonight, and really even leading up until the moment that the pick happens tomorrow night, is really going to know that much about how exactly Dave Caldwell is thinking, because there's just no reason for him to tell people.
We'll hear from Dave Caldwell coming up today, this morning actually, at Jacksonville International Airport. Some Jaguars front office folks surprised the Bold City Brigade group headed to New York for the draft. There were two planes of Brigade folks, two different airlines, and I was somewhere between 75 or so total folks from here, and some other people from other cities are meeting in New York. But they met them with water and koozies. Actually, I've got one right here.
Met him with J.P. Shadrick, yeah, too.
I was there, too, bright and early this morning. Nice koozies made for the event. Care packages as well. We caught up with John Caputo, the president of the Bold City Brigade, and they seemed very surprised by the meeting this morning. Always great to visit with Bold City Cap, the president over there, and it's going to be quite a weekend for that group.
My question to you is, you got to the airport what time this morning, you?
Oh, 4?
So you just stayed up, right? I mean, that's
your
game plan was just to stay up.
I wouldn't be shocked if some of that group stayed up, too.
I think it's safe to say that some of that group stayed up.
That would be very fair.
But no, in all seriousness, they do a great job, and it was neat for the team to sort of acknowledge and help them get away. If you follow Twitter at all, they've been looking forward to this trip for a long time, and I think it's safe to say they'll make the most out of their experience.
We have our first caller on Jaguars.com Live. You know Uncle Chaps from Texas, 355-NFL1.
Do we have a seven-second delay on this call?
6351.
There we go.
Chaps wants to talk quarterbacks. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, Chaps.
Well, what's up?
Well, I wanted to talk – you guys know I'm a Texas bro, and I'm living out here in San Antonio, which is, I don't know if you know or not, it's pretty close to Kerrville. And I used to watch a kid that played in Kerrville that was pretty decent. I wanted to know if David had seen him play at all or had heard about him. Johnny Manziel?
Well, I don't know if you watch Jaguars.com religiously, Chaps, but we were there for that fella's pro day in College Station.
Yeah, and I was going to come out, but I got really deep into some yoga and just fell into a trance and couldn't even drive up there. You guys know how that is, especially
all the time.
Sure, I'm always falling into yoga. into a yoga trance. Yeah, Dave's not here yet, but obviously he's seen Manziel, very well aware. And you know, it's very intriguing, the entire Johnny Manziel story. It wouldn't shock you if he went to Jacksonville. It wouldn't shock you if he went to a number of teams in the top 10. And to me, JP, he's the guy who's sort of, I would say, the linchpin of the draft. Obviously, Clowney's the guy that everything else is going to fall from there. But Manziel is the most intriguing story of this draft and in a long time, maybe even more intriguing than Tebow was when he came out, because you sort of knew Tebow wasn't going in the top 10. Manziel could go anywhere from 1 to out of the first round.
That's right.
And that, you know, I'm not going to say it's never happened before. Obviously, things have happened. But that's a huge, you know, 1 to out of the top first round. It's Aaron Rodgers-esque, I guess, would be the only thing you can compare it to, that kind of drop.
Yeah, it's usually the biggest story outside of Clowney, like
sure.
You were saying. Because
and no maybe the Jaguars will get involved. Maybe they won't.
Maybe.
You know, we just don't know. It would not shock me on Friday if we're sitting here talking about Johnny Manziel. It would not shock me if Johnny Manziel didn't go until outside the first round. You just don't know.
Chaps, thanks for the call.
Well,
great to hear from
you. Uncle
Chaps joining us from San Antonio, Texas. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. David Caldwell scheduled to join us coming up a little bit later. Actually, any minute now here on Jaguars.com. So stick with us. Hashtag Jags Live. You know, this thing's finally here, and I can't wait for tomorrow. We've been waiting 2 extra weeks. I know the front office. I know Dave's been ready for 2 weeks. He told us on Friday at the media luncheon that he could have drafted 2 weeks ago. I think most of the people, if you polled the league of executives, they could have drafted 2 weeks ago, too.
And it's exciting for them, but to a degree, you know, Dave Caldwell has to step away from, obviously, all the giddy excitement that everybody else feels. He's got a job to do tomorrow night, and we'll talk to him in a minute, but he's certainly going in with 3, 4, 5 scenarios that he knows will probably play out. So he's got to have a plan. He's got to be calm about it. But for the rest of us, there's just this great unknown. It's intriguing to follow this. I get Ozone emails. I get questions on Twitter. And there are just as many fans who are certain that the Jaguars should and will take player X as who are sure and will take player Y. And it goes on seven or eight deep. There's Bridgewater. There's Manziel. There's Clowney. There's Mack. There's Watkins. It wouldn't shock you to see him take some combination of all those, you know, not all those guys, obviously, but nothing would shock you, and it's so high profile. It's got to be the most intriguing, high interest, anything could happen draft in this franchise's history because of where they're picking and because there are quarterbacks in the conversation.
And the second go-round draft for Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, building a foundation. I think that's –
well,
they need to get some
and even beyond the excitement,
yes.
Even beyond the excitement, your point is the correct one. You've got 11 picks in a deep draft. So we're all talking about the first pick. I know from Dave Caldwell's point of view, the rest of the draft, you don't realistically think you're going to get 11 starters out of a draft, even if you got. But having this many picks in this deep a draft, when he said last week that he expects to get 4 or 5 starters out of that, maybe not next year, but he expects to get 4 or 5 guys who are going to contribute in a big way, that's – I'm not very good at math like you are, JP, but it's almost a quarter of your team going forward. You're hoping that it's not only a franchise guy at the top, but a foundation in the middle going forward.
We mentioned the draft party tomorrow. We will have draft coverage right here on Jaguars.com. Tune in about 6:45 will be our first live hit tomorrow going into the party outside of Everbank Field. We'll be live out there. We'll come inside for live instant analysis right after every pick. That's tomorrow night right here on Jaguars.com. You don't want to miss it. What we understand, the live feed will stay live the whole time. So if you go away, it'll come back. It'll maintain its live status on your player. There was a question just a moment ago from the live blog below. This is from Kevin. What do you like, dislike about Blake Bortles? I know you're a quarterback expert, John,
I am.
Well, so I'm asking
you
as a former...
Maybe the quarterback expert,
quarterback.
JP. I mean, yeah. But... what you like about him, obviously, is all the prototypical stuff. As we talked about at his pro day, when you look at Blake Bortles, you can look at that guy and envision him being the guy in the huddle. He carries himself right. He looks the part. What you dislike about him is there were times in college where he didn't throw with the accuracy that you want out of that number one guy. And I hear the comparison sometimes to Roethlisberger. That's a tough comparison to me because I don't get the idea that Bortles is quite that. You know, Big Ben's special because he's such a big, strong guy that he can make things happen almost by will and his physicality. I don't know that it's fair to compare a college kid to that in that sense. Certainly, he can make things happen and extend plays in college the way Roethlisberger does in the NFL. It's tough to do that in the NFL unless you are a phenomenally physically strong human being the way Ben is.
JP Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live, awaiting Dave Caldwell, general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, scheduled to join us today. Glad you're with us as well. At Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Let's talk wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, last week it was the most definitive statement we've heard from Jaguars executives regarding Justin Blackmon's future here.
Right.
Really the first true statement of any substance at all. So it makes you think that, hey, that's going to be a position of great influence, maybe on Thursday.
And I think it was anyway. As you know, from listening to Dave throughout the offseason, from listening to Gus, it's very much been a case with Justin of if he's here, great. But when we look at the depth chart, when we look at this team's needs, that's not a factor in what they're doing. I think they feel like they need a one anyway. I think they feel like they need to address the receiver core anyway. And they realistically have to look and – plan this roster as if he won't be here and take it, as they have said, a bonus if he is. So I've looked all along as receiver being a very high priority position in this draft, and that's when you get down to, do you like Watkins at 3? Can you slide back? Probably not get him if you slide back. Then you're probably looking at a Mike Evans type. There's an awful lot of appeal to taking a wide receiver early in this draft, even though it's a deep draft, because in this league right now, there's a strong argument made for having somebody special at that position. And it's as deep as this is, it's probably still going to be tough to get somebody special outside the first round.
855-6351. That's 1-800-355-NFL1. This is Jaguars.com Live. Let's go back to the phone lines. They're lit up today. This is Tyler from Rhode Island talking about later picks. Tyler, what's up?
Not much. I wanted to talk, you know, more or less about the later picks. A lot of talk on the first round guys, but who do you think they're going to take, you know, with those 3 5th round picks or maybe one of those 4th round picks? You know, we need a center. There's a couple guys, you know. I was thinking Brian Stork or maybe Travis Swanson, one of those guys, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, on later picks, anybody's guess is as good as anybody's. It's just so tough to break down the later picks because, A, you don't know what this man's thinking about him, and because there's so many things that happen before and after the later picks. It's really hard to project anything, but it's especially hard to project later picks.
No, it's okay. You're right here, John. This is Jaguars.com. First off, thanks for the caller in Rhode Island. Jaguars.com Live, J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, and Dave Caldwell, the general manager, has arrived. How are you?
Great, man. How are you?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. How come you got nice little white headphones and I have these big clothes?
Well, I don't know.
Give me your headphones.
Great question. Stylish. I'll trade you.
GM's in the house.
Yeah. So you're ready?
I'm ready.
Hayes in the barn.
We're ready.
So you were ready 2 weeks ago, right?
We were almost ready 2 weeks ago, and we're very ready now.
Biggest decision, go through the different scenarios. You obviously have gone through a few mocks of your own, most likely with the folks in the room, and how many scenarios do you have to prepare for? Do you have a number that you've kind of gone through in your head?
I don't like the mock.
No?
No.
Not at all?
No mocking.
No mocking
for
you.
But I tell my son, right?
Nice. Why is that? Because some GMs do numerous mocks, but you have a different approach, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I think we trust our personnel department to kind of identify team needs and go that route, and then we just look at basically what the team needs, where we think specific mm-hmm. players will fall. Now we'll go through our list of picks, and we'll say, okay, I'll take this guy, and we've done that with like about 4 or 5 teams.
That's not a mock?
No, that's not a mock.
Sounds like a mock to me.
No, we're not mocking right. All 32 teams. We're just saying, okay, if you had this pick in this round, who'd you take? And about 4 or 5 guys do it.
If it walks like a mock and talks like a mock, it's probably a mock, right?
Could be a mock.
It might be a mock.
Yeah.
Dave Caldwell's with us, general manager of the Jaguars on Jaguars.com Live. Let's talk about your war room tomorrow night. Do you like people in there? Is it a tense scene? Do you like it quiet? Do you like music? Do you like guests?
I like action. I like we do play some music, and I don't like it to be quiet, and it just takes too long. It's a long, boring day. So for us, and well, hopefully it'll be a quick, short day for us. But yeah, I like action. And I like some life into the room. So
I'm curious, Dave, when you get on the clock, are there situations where there's hard discussions going on at that point, or have the discussions pretty much taken place and you can look at somebody and say, okay, yeah, this is what we decided. We're going with this.
Yeah, we have a pretty good idea. When you're picking in the top five, mm-hmm. you don't have too many scenarios to think about. Where it gets tricky is when you're picking later in the draft and you have 4 or 5 people you're going to target, and then you start thinking about if they start coming off, you know, are you going to trade up, are you going to trade back? And in this year's draft, you should be able to find 5 players that you really kind of like. So we're in a good spot.
Dave, let's go social. How about this?
Perfect.
Big question from @LordDraftNick. How many people call you the general?
None, really, I don't think, to my face.
Really? Let's go. Speaking of the general, this is from Bill McNeil, @WeMcNeil. Is the general aware of his shirt, and does he have one yet? You see it on your screen right now, but Dave, here's a look at it right here.
Oh, wow.
Duval takeover. You and the aviators and the black coat, kind of like you're looking like right now.
Yeah, who's responsible for that?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's Tim from Duval. He's responsible for everything on
It sounds on like it. But at the airport this morning, over half of the folks that were in the Bull City Brigade had these things on. Do you have one of these?
I do not have one, no.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
This might be your way. What do you think of this?
I think my wife will shake her head if I walk in the door with that on.
Bring him home for the whole family.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Dave, and I asked you this at the pre-draft luncheon. I'm always fascinated about when you sort of tell yourself that it's done, the preparation is done. And is there ever a scenario where we go back and regrade a guy at this point, or is that pretty much
not at this point? I would say yesterday we may have done some tweaking a little bit, but now it's pretty much set. I think if anything, you do anything now, you're just going to screw yourself up. Mm-hmm. So you don't. You always think you could do more. If I do anything now, it's really looking at some college free agents and trying to go through some of those guys maybe that I have not seen. I feel like we've seen most of them. I would say 98% of them, but sometimes there's a guy that might pop up that one of our area scouts likes. And just general rules, I like to at least put an eyeball on anybody we bring in, regardless of how they get there, whether it's a draft or through college free agency. So I spent some time doing that, and that makes the time go by. So I did a little bit of that today.
Do you have an idea of how many free agents you might bring in
Saturday? Well, right now we're at 70. If we have 11 draft picks, that gives us room for 9. So I would say somewhere between 9 and 12.
When was the first time you were in a draft room? I know you've been, I mean, you're not always in immediately when you first start in the league.
You know, when I first started in Carolina, I was.
Okay.
I was fortunate because I had to pull the magnets off the board.
Okay.
So I had to climb up the ladder and get the magnets. And so my first couple of years in Carolina was. First year in Indianapolis, and then a few years after that in Indianapolis, and then all my years in Atlanta.
When did you feel like, I guess, you were ready to run things? Because I'm sure there's a while where you're looking and you're trying to absorb.
Yeah, probably yesterday.
Well, that's good to hear.
No, it pretty much runs itself.
Okay.
Because, if we go through the process and we treat the process right in the preparation, the draft day, the players are going to come off, and it's going to be very evident to you who you're going to take, and it really does run itself.
Dave Caldwell is with us. Last couple of minutes with the GM of the Jaguars on Jaguars.com Live. Another social question, Dave. And you're not a Twitter guy at all, Dave, are you?
No.
That was a hesitation.
Well, I don't tweet, but I'll follow some tweets.
So you're hidden.
Well, I there's people in the building that have Twitter access, so.
Fair enough. Speaking of that, you're going to take it over tomorrow. We'll get to that in a minute. This is from @JagsEveryday about your preparation on draft day.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off pretty easy. Will you be wearing a three-piece suit like last year?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Wow.
I may not even go tie.
No tie this year? Maybe. Well, it's second year, really decided, you're comfortable now?
It really depends on my dry cleaning.
What you pick up. Well, take us through what's left for you. You know, between now and then, Hayes in the barn.
Well,
almost on
we
the
got a major competition going on over at the Jacksonville Suns, and we got a little home run derby between our personnel staff and our coaching staff.
Wow.
So that's next, and then dinner with Shotgun tonight. And other than that, that's it. Just sit and wait. Hurry up and wait.
Jeff Darlington was in here a minute ago, and he said he was struck by how calm you seemed.
Yeah,
and you do seem calm. Are you calm on the inside? Will you be calm on the inside on draft night, or is you figure the work's done?
Yeah, I think so. If I'm not calm, that's probably a problem.
Okay.
Right?
That's well. So, fair enough.
So there's a lot of things we can't control, and there's certain, the only thing we control is making the pick when it's our time.
How do you avoid, is my last question, draft fatigue? You see so many players, and you have to keep so much organized. Is it just a matter of sticking to the routine that you've known from scouting for so long and just knowing that's the body clock?
We have a great support staff. Our personnel department, Kyle O'Brien, Chris Polian, Andy Dingler, Paul Roll, Mark Ellens, those guys have done a great job of really taking a lot off my plate in terms of the organization aspect of it, and obviously greatly appreciated. But so I have a great support staff, not only them, but the coaching staff, and, it's been, we've had a lot of discussion on virtually almost every player on that draft board, and I think we know him pretty good.
I think you were supposed to ask him who he was taking. Was
yeah, who
you're
job. Taking?
I keep telling Pete Prisco, Joey Bag of Donuts.
That would work out just fine, I'm sure. Dave, good luck to you tomorrow and throughout the weekend, and good luck in the home run derby across the street.
I appreciate that. And Joey's a good player.
Dave Caldwell, the general manager of the Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. And yes, we did mention he will take over the Jaguars' Twitter handle tomorrow. early afternoon, the exact time to be determined. Follow at Jaguars for the latest tomorrow. Use the hashtag AskAJag, AskAJAG, and you will get in with Dave Caldwell tomorrow.
I was never that cool, JP.
No.
Let's just say right there. I mean, it is remarkable. You know, who knows if he's hiding it, but you do talk to GMs over the years, and they all say that it's about preparation. It's about knowing the process a year round, and then sort of knowing two or three days before the draft that you're ready. Dave's always a low-key level guy anyway, but it does strike you that, you know, he knows he's confident in the process it's going to play out tomorrow night.
You know, we're around Dave a lot in this process, and it just kind of seems like, you know, if you're around him, you speak to him, you interview him a lot, hit that attitude kind of rubs off on
you. You pour
sometimes.
Yourself in, JP, I guess it's somebody you're covering. And sometimes you run a risk of maybe becoming that person a little too much.
This is unbelievable. Nice glasses,
right. Well,
by
thank
the way.
You. We'll have to have Made by Tim work on that one. How about that?
Maybe that's coming next. Right. The Vito big head's going to be gone. It's going to be John Osier next.
Nothing like ruining a great show with a bad ending. How about that?
What an ending. Story of my life.
That's right.
John, well done as always. Great show.
It was a lot of fun.
And we'll look forward to tomorrow.
The weekend's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope fans will join us on Jaguars.com.
That'll do it for Jaguars.com Live today. Glad you were with us. Thanks to our callers. Our thanks to Jeff Darlington from the NFL Network. Diamond Dave Caldwell, the general manager of the Jaguars, joined us as well. And for John Osier and everyone involved in this production, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live.